welcome to another episode of Unicorns Do Exist. I am your host, Vanessa, and today we got another spicy episode. You can tell I'm getting more comfortable with these. But I mainly wanted to talk about relationships and something I've been hearing a lot lately. I actually had a conversation with my friend earlier today, and she said not to talk about this, but guess what? We're going to talk about this in regards to life, you know, business, relationships, and relationships in general are the ones that affect your life the most. Meaning, the person you are with is going to determine 90% of your happiness. The person that you decide to marry and create a life with and have children with is going to have a major effect in your life forever. 90% of your happiness is going to come from this relationship. Unfortunately. So choose wisely. No, in all seriousness, like, it really, really does matter. You might say, well, Vanessa, yours failed. Well, the marriage failed. Yes, that is true. The romantic part of it, I would say, definitely failed. But overall, I don't regret having a child with this person. I don't regret being in their lives at all. I hope they feel the same. Maybe not right now, but eventually. I chose the best other parent I could for my son. Because my dream was for her to be more present. And guess what? She is stepping up every day, little by little, and being more present. And I love that. With that being said, okay, one thing I've heard a lot is when people are staying in relationships, that they're not happy, for example. Or I have heard this a couple times. They get into a relationship with someone and then they realize they really don't like them. But now they've been with them for, like, I don't know, 3 months. And so they feel guilty if they break it off. And mostly women. I don't know why women do this. I was guilty of this too. I stayed with someone way too long that I didn't really like. I just felt bad for breaking up with them. And you know what happens? Eventually, time, la costumbre, el tiempo, makes you believe that you truly do love them. And then when they leave you, or when they do something to hurt you, you're like, man, like, why didn't I move on? Why did I, like, you know, stay? And the reason why either way it's not going to work out, it's because they're eventually going to feel that you truly don't love them. They're eventually going to feel the disconnection. And what they're going to do, they're going to either break up with you, which is what originally everybody wants, because you don't want to feel guilty that you broke up with them. So you stay. Women do this a lot. They really don't like the guy, or they really don't like the partner. And because they don't want to be the bad guy in the relationship, they'd stay. But they're mean to the partner. I see it all the time. They're mean. They're rude. They're like, oh, he's so dumb. Or I can't stand him. Or, oh my God. Da, da, da. I'm like, then why are you with him? That doesn't make you a good person. To me, that makes you a coward. Simple. You're a coward because you didn't make the hard decision. And suffering in a relationship is not like a badge of honor. Because you are, lo estoy soportando. Look at me. No, I don't think that's a badge of honor. I don't think you're any better than anyone else. If anything, I think you're selfish and a coward. And you're using this as an excuse to not move on. I have a couple friends that are in relationships like that. And I literally just today told one of them, I'm like, either you love the person you're with or you move on. But you gotta stop talking about them. Because it doesn't make you look any better. It doesn't make you look good. It doesn't make it seem like you're such a nice person as you say you are. That's just you being afraid of the unknown. And covering up as I'm doing them a favor. You're just protecting yourself from being alone. From going and discovering what else is out there, what could truly be for you. Being miserable in the name of love doesn't make you noble. It makes you, a martyr. disconnected from them and from your own worth. Because if you really believed in them and you really cared for them, you would let them go and find someone that loves them for who they truly are and loves them the right way, the way they deserve to be loved. Did it hurt when my ex dumped me? Yes, of course it did. But that is the kindest thing she could have done, to let me go and be happy. Let me go and be free. Let me go so I could become the better version of myself and have the love that I truly deserve. And same thing for her. Like, I wish nothing but the best for this person, because at the end of the day, that's what I want for myself. I know it sounds cliche and hard, and sometimes hard to believe, but I truly do mean that, in a sense where, like, I know that in this world, whatever you wish upon somebody, anybody, is what you will receive. So I wish her nothing but the best. I wish her a beautiful, amazing, passionate marriage and relationship, because that's exactly what I want for myself. And what better gift to give my son than two healthy relationships that he can be part of? Once again, my way of thinking doesn't come overnight. I had to literally get my heart broken time after time again and believe and understand that it is all in my favor. It is all in my favor. It's always in my favor. I can never get it wrong. I'm never messing up. And guess what? If it's the moment that I am not happy or not, don't feel valued, that's my cue to, you got to get up and you got to go. Because there's somewhere else, there's another place, there's another human out there that will value you, that will love you. If you guys know about Abraham Hicks, okay? She's an amazing woman. I'm not going to get too much into it on this episode, but she talks about vibration. And the vibration of pain only attracts more pain. You can attract something you are not vibrating in the same frequency at. Kind of like attracts like. You reap what you sow. What goes around comes around. It's the same thing in different parables. It's the same thing said in different ways. My mom would always tell me, you reap what you sow. Cosecha lo que siembras. Or the fish dies by its mouth. I love that one. My mom used to tell me that. And she said it in reference to my dad. My dad was known to have a big mouth and to say things out of anger. And then he would come back and tell my mom, like, damn, exactly what he was speaking bad about would come back and bite him in the butt. And he would always say, oh, it is bruja. He would tell my mom she was a witch. And maybe she is. Maybe we all are. I do believe we all have a little bit of internal energy and power to manifest everything we want. We just have to learn how to, like, tap into it and use it. Same thing. A whole other episode that we can talk about, because I can go down this rabbit hole. But the main point is to believe in the humans that around you. Believe in the people around you. Believe that they can do it. It's kind of a little bit of, like, tough love. We were at a birthday party this weekend from my godson. My first godson ever, you guys. So I am very, I feel very honored to be chosen. But anyway, it was his birthday party this weekend. And my son, I kid you not, fell like 20 times. He was running up and down, playing with the ball and stuff. And he fell like 20 times. And every single time, you could see someone was like wanting to run and rush and pick him up. And I don't believe in doing that. Neither does my sister, thank God, because we were both there. And she told me at the end, she's like, I kid you not, I think he fell like 20 times. Granted, the first couple times he would look up and wait to see if anyone was going to come get him. Or like, help me or something. Kind of like if he was in a, should I cry, should I not? But, you know, once he saw no one was going to come get him, he got up. Then he fell again. This time, he waited a little less. He fell and he was like, okay, well, no one's going to come get me, so let me get up. My sister was like, but the 20th time, he didn't even look up. He just fell and came, got right back up. Like, not a peep, not a hesitation, just got up. And that is the type of faith you need to have on the people around you. Especially people that you helped raise or you helped, if you're a part of their lives, you have to believe that they're going to be okay. That they got this. But they can't do it if you don't give them a chance to mess up, to find true love, to get their heart broken for maybe 2 or 3 months, and then go find a love that is bigger and greater for them. Same thing for yourself. Have faith in yourself that you're going to find what is meant for you. Don't hold on to something just because you're afraid of not finding anything else. Esther Perel, she's a relationship therapist. She talks about this as well. Real life requires truth, not martyry. Kind of like not like, oh, I'm here for you. And like, oh, you're lucky. And I'm suffering just to make you happy. Like, no, that's not true love. Connection dies that way. You eventually start to resent each other. Maybe not in a month or 3 months, but in a year, 5 years. Then you wonder why there's these marriages that are so toxic. It's like because they never really loved each other. They were just settling and they were too afraid to move on. If you believe in yourself, and you'd move on. And if you believe in them, you trust that they'll find the right person to love them. Same thing for yourself. My cousin once asked me, how come we don't find any of the good men? Or what did she say? She said, how come I don't get a good man? Or how come I can't find a good one? And my first initial thought was because you settled with the first person that came. Because the first person that walked by you said, yep, this is it. Whether they were good or bad or ugly or you didn't matter. You just got one and that's it. You got stuck. You were like, this is it. Te aferraste. I'm gonna make it work because I'm gonna make it work. And guess what happens? In 3 months, you were afraid of hurting them because they liked you more. What do you think is gonna happen in a year? What do you think is gonna happen in 3? Now you even tricked your brain to thinking you love them, but just because you're used to them. So I've been single for over a year now. I am completely happy with the situation that I'm in right now simply because I'm learning to love myself all over again. If you guys heard the last episode, I'm learning to what I like all over again. And there's nothing wrong with that. In this world, we came to explore, to live, to experience, to try. We're human. We're supposed to evolve. We're supposed to change. We're not supposed to be rigid. That's like when you die. You can be a corpse. Even then you change. Even then you decay. But there's nothing wrong with changing your mind. And as well as there's nothing wrong with people not changing their mind. If you go into a relationship and someone says, yeah, I don't think I want children, and you do, yet you're still in this relationship because you think that a year from now they're going to, I don't know, change their mind. Oh, she'll love me. She's going to give me a baby. No. That's very unfair of you. I always say, if you want a cat, get a cat. If you want a dog, get a dog. But don't find any dog in the street and think that just because you shower him and give him crazy amounts of love, one of these days he'll be a cat. It's not going to happen. And it's no longer that dog's fault. It's your fault for being delusional. This is one of the times delusion can actually hurt you. But if you can learn to love a cat the same way you learn to love a dog, then okay, go ahead, try it. There's nothing wrong with that. I don't believe there's anything wrong in having multiple relationships. Originally, monogamy was one person for the rest of your life. Now, modern day monogamy is one person at a time. So I only date you at this time, and I'm monogamous. But hey, if all parties are consenting and all parties are okay with it and all parties have open and clear communication, I mean, who am I to judge? I don't judge anyone's relationships simply because when I came out, I would have wished the people that gave me the courtesy of not judging me, I believe they deserve it as well. Anyone deserves it. No one deserves to be judged because of who they love or who they're attracted to. I don't think that's a valid reason to dislike or be upset with anyone. So if you're in a relationship and you don't know if this is the right person for you, or even if you don't have a relationship, you try and figure out what it is, what is the right person for you, I will say quickly how I go about dating now and how I feel like I manifested my ex. When I was 27, I decided to sit down and actually write down exactly what I wanted in a partner. And I did this because I was heartbroken. I did this because I was 25 and I had just been dumped again. And I was heartbroken. I was so heartbroken. And I was like, I need to figure out a way to get over this person. So thank God, Tony Robbins, love and passion with the love of his life, Sage. They had this audio out about love and passion and how to attract your ideal partner. And so they have such a beautiful relationship, such a playful, passionate relationship that I was like, okay, cool, let's listen to this. I don't know how I found it. The universe brought it to me. It was what I needed and the universe brought it to me. Step one, get clear on what you want. Take your time. Sit down. Nobody else is going to eat this sandwich but you. And you might have to eat the sandwich for the rest of your life. So get very clear on what it is that you want on it. Okay? I want tons of mustard. I want mustard all over it because I love mustard. That's my preference. I'm going to eat it. No one else's. That's the number one thing. Because God cannot give you what you don't know that you, what he doesn't know that you want. And you don't know what you want if you don't get clear on what you want. You have to be specific. Two, what must you absolutely not have in this person? Like, what are your non-negotiables about this person? For example, me, the first time I did this, I was 25. I didn't have kids. One of my non-negotiables was must not have kids. Must not be currently getting divorced, quote unquote, or living with their ex-wife. Don't believe in that. So whenever I met anybody and they had kids, I was like, yeah, no, I'm not interested. Thank you. Someone else will love them, not me. Because that's just not something, that was what my non-negotiable. That's how I felt. Another one was must not do hard drugs, meth, crack cocaine. I'm good. I'll pass. Even, it was funny because even at 25, one of my exes smoked lots of weed, and which at the time I thought it was a lot because I was very anti-weed and all this stuff. Now that I'm older, I understand the difference, and I'm like, oh, okay. Like the way my mom spoke about it and the way I was raised, it was very like, oh my God, you smoke weed, you know? Like, es un marihuano. Obviously, I'm older now, so I understand the difference. So that was one of the things I didn't want. Like, if you smoke weed, like, every day, all day, yeah, you know, that's probably not for me. There's someone out there that might love that. There's someone out there that gets high all day, every day, and that's the perfect match for them. Just not me. That's what I did in my list. I got really clear on what I must not have. Must not be selfish. Must not be, like, arrogant, egotistic, those kind of things. The basics. And finally, the third list of this list is, who do you have to be to attract that person? I'm not sure if I talked about this in the last episode, but go to work on yourself. You can't expect a 10 if you're not a 10. And a lot of women out there want a 10. They're not even like a 5.5. So just be honest with yourself. That's the best thing you can do. Because once you're honest with yourself, you could see where you really are and where you have to get or where you want to go. For example, if you're just like, hey, I like to be active, but I don't want to be fit. Perfect. You can grade yourself a 7, 7.5, whatever you want. And then attract someone like that. Someone that likes to be active, but it's not about the gym life. It's just, it could be anything in that aspect. I think the most important are mental maturity, spirituality, health, finances, or in family values. Some people love their family, love to be around their family, want to have big gatherings and lots of kids. Other people just like to do their own thing. Either one, it's fine. There's no wrong answer to this. It all depends on you and what you want. A lot of times society tells you, you have to want this, you have to want that. Oh, look at them. They have two kids and, you know, they live in a cottage, so now you have to want that. Or they have no kids and they travel the world. You need to want that. There's no wrong or right answer. Just do whatever you feel in your heart. The most important thing is always going to be honest with yourself. Because this is your life. It's no one else's. And there's nothing wrong with being a little bit selfish. Because if you are not happy, you won't be able to make anyone else around you happy. And as much as you try to pretend like, oh, I got this, or, oh, they don't know, You can't fake energy. You can't fake emotion. You can't fake who you truly are and how you show up for people. Energy is something so powerful and so beautiful, and you can't fake that. Have you ever known someone that just walks into the room and you're like, oh man, they're here. Like, oh fuck. Oh, what's wrong with them? Nothing. They're just, you can't pinpoint it. You're just like, oh, there's just something about them that is like heavy. And then you met someone else and you're like, oh my God, look who's here. Like, because no matter what's going on, they're just happy. They're vibrant. They make you feel better. You know, there's just a lightness to them. That's the same thing that you might not even be aware that you're carrying or giving off when you walk into places. I think the best way to find out is just find a friend that you truly trust and ask them, hey, am I a Debbie Downer? I've been a Debbie Downer. I was, you know, going through my own stuff. So yes, there might have been a time where I was a Debbie Downer. And the only thing I could do is figure it out, go to work on myself, and flip it around. But the best thing is when you get clear on goals. And then that's going to help you attract the right perfect person for you. That lasting, the long-lasting, passionate relationship that you truly want. If that's what you want. Some people just want to be out there dating and having fun and getting to know other people. Like, I think currently myself, I am ready to start dating. I want to see what the world has for me, in a sense. Do I think I'm ready for marriage or jump into a relationship all over again? Definitely not. Definitely not. But the first thing I'm going to say when I meet someone is, this, hey, this is where I stand. This is what I want. And if this is what something that is aligns with you, great. If not, hey, no worries. Someone else is looking for a husband or a wife. And that's not me. At least not right now. And doesn't it bring you so much joy? Maybe not a lot of relationships, but it'll bring you a lot of joy in each one. And I'd rather have a good, genuine, fun, healthy relationship than a bunch of little toxic ones that just drain you, that drain your energy, that drain your business, that drain your mind. So if you are ready to stop replaying the same relationship cycles that you have already, you can definitely take a look at my How to Attract Your Ideal Partner. I go more in depth into the process of attracting your ideal partner, or just getting clear on what it is that you want. If you're in a relationship and you're wondering whether, hey, should I take the next step? Should I get married? Should we have kids? Where am I going from here? This is the best way to get clear. And I would actually recommend that you do this with your partner. That way you and your partner know exactly where you stand. And if it's great, we're on the same page, like keep going. Perfect. Because just like I attracted somebody at 27, that wasn't the same person that I was at 37. The person I was at 27 wanted to have fun, wanted to work, didn't mind not being priority, didn't mind not being the number one priority in their life. Hey, your number one priority is work. My number one priority is work. Perfect. We are both on the same page. But at 37, my number one priority was no longer work, was my family. And I think that's where it changed. So just be honest with your partner. Be transparent. Be honest with yourself. And if someone wants you in their life, if someone truly, truly is your ride or die, they will do whatever it takes to show you that. You know, you probably won't even have to ask. You'll just see them showing up differently. But you have to switch your energy too. So I love this topic. I really do. I've always loved love, and I've always loved seeing people genuinely happy and like in love with each other. I think that's like the best thing ever. Kind of like Bad Bunny. If I fall in love 500 times, I will fall in love one more time, 501, and I will get my heart broken 501 times. But I will not stop loving. I will not stop believing in love. I will not stop understanding that what is meant for me will be for me. And yes, I do want to ride or die eventually. but I want to be able to show up as the best version of myself in that relationship as well. So I hope you guys find this entertaining, valuable, and fun. And let me know what you think. Because remember, unicorns do exist. And you, my love, are listening to one. Bye.